Turn your Bibles, the Old Testament book of Judges, the book of Judges, chapter number 2. My wife and I have been reading through the Old Testament, and we have just finished, just recently, reading through the book of Judges. And as I read the book of Judges once again, I was kind of, it was remarkable to see the rise and the fall, the continuation of being God's answering prayer, but then falling right back into sin. God answering prayer, calling out to God. God answers prayer. Can I just say that God's a merciful God? And I'm thankful for that. He's a God of second chances and even third chances and sometimes even more than that. And I praise God for that. God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I'm glad for that, because God, if it had been me, if I'd have been God, I'd have given up on me a long time ago. Might have given up on a whole lot of people, but God didn't give up on us. And I'm so thankful for that. And we see the nation of Israel. God has not given up on them. And let me just say, God's still not given up on the nation of Israel. God's still working, and God's working His plan through. And His plan was not thwarted. It was not thrown out of the boat. It was not. He did not give up on it. God's still working it through. And we'll see it come to complete fruition in the future. And I'm looking forward to being a part of that, because as a child of God, we've been grafted in. And that's exciting thought there, but a whole nother message tonight. I want to spend our time tonight thinking about some things about our nation and some ways to be thinking about our responses to things biblically. We look at Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. I think maybe this is one of the most, this is one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible, one of them. And all the generations were gathered unto their fathers. That means also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. That means there's a generation that had passed away. They had died. And then look at this, mark in your Bibles. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. Verse number 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. I want us to think tonight about the thought of getting used to a new norm. Getting used to a new norm. We hear a lot about that today, the new normal. If this is the new normal in our society today, it's not something we ought to get used to. It's not something we ought to ever want. And we'll never get used to this. God's not used to this, nor should the Christian, nor should the church. But we see things happening in our land today that's extraordinary, to say the least. It is troubling. To say the least. But I'm glad we still have a God upon the throne. God has not been removed. He's still there. But yet we see the difficulties of our day, and we have the questions in our minds and our hearts. And what about our generation? What about the next generation? What about our children? I appreciate the children being in church tonight. I appreciate bringing them in and training them and teaching them. And you folks and you young people and you young families, I just want to encourage you all. You're doing a great job, and you keep up at it. And God will give the reward for that. And train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. He'll not depart. I believe that. I believe it's a promise we can hang on to. And so I appreciate what you are doing, as well as many of other young families in our church. Just keep it up. Hard work. It is hard work. And you've got more against you these days, it seems like, than ever before. An entire generation, entire world that's fighting against a family. Even the definition of what a family is, of a biblical family. You got so much against you. And these children that are coming up and you're raising, and they're going to be facing a tougher time than we've ever dreamed of. They're going to be facing situations that we never thought of. And it's our responsibility to train them up in the way they should go. It's our responsibility to pour the Word of God into them. Now, every child will certainly have to make that faith that you pour into them. They'll have to make it theirs. It'll have to become theirs. It'll not be something that they'll inherit. They're going to have to make a decision for Christ themselves. They're going to have to make a decision to follow the Lord themselves. But when the hard times come, if you have poured your life and the Word of God into their life, then they'll have something to grasp upon, something that anchor that holds in the midst of the storm. So you keep up the good work, and I just want to say thank you for doing that, and you're a great, great blessing to me. In this text, we see there arose another generation that knew not God. Here we find a warning in the Word of God to us. And I'm certainly by no means a prophet, nor claim to be. I'm a Bible preacher. That's what I seek to be. But I do believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. And I do think that really the America in which we live in today is looking straight down the gun barrel of spiritual death. Physical death, spiritual death certainly. And I believe possibly even physical death and spiritual death actually in both of those situations. And may it be, it might even be that our nation is already dead spiritually. I believe God's working. I do not believe in a Laodicean church age that we just hang on to the fort until Jesus comes. Do the best we can to hold on. I believe we storm the gates of hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the power of God in our lives. And so I'm not saying that all is lost, but I believe it's a call. It's a battle cry. It's a call to tell the world that we are Christians. And I believe that's what God's asking us to do in these days. And as I mentioned earlier, like never before, does a Christian need to stand up and make a stand for the cause of Christ? The majority of Christian homes, it seems, has lost or ignored this warning, I believe, that we find in this Bible. Not all, but it seems like many, many have. Vance Havner said, "Today's civilization is like an ape playing with matches in a room full of dynamite," in a way of putting things together. And I think that's probably true. America is living in some very dark times. And apart from a heaven-sent revival sweeping our land, that's what we've been praying for, the future of our nation does not seem very bright. I'm not looking to a November election. We can't. I believe God's given us a bit of reprieve, but it'll not be a November election that'll turn things around. It'll be a revival in our own hearts. It'll be a heaven-sent revival. It'll be something that'll touch us first so that we can go out and tell the world that we're Christians and not be ashamed to tell the world that we're Christians, not be ashamed to tell the world that Jesus is coming again, that He is the Savior. He's the one and only Savior. Not be ashamed of those things. For the most part, today's Christianity and today's Christian knows nothing of the power of God. Our generation has repeated tragedy after tragedy, I believe even this message. And I really think that what we see going on in our land today is a reproduction of what we've just read in this passage. There arose another generation that knew not God. In Judges chapter 2, verse number 1, "And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Boshim and said, 'I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.' For nearly 400 years the nation of Israel had seen the power, the mighty hand of God in their lives, and had seen Him do wonderful works, mighty works, amazing works. And then we come to this verse in verse number 10. There arose that generation that knew not God. And so how could this happen? Where did this come from? We see the appearance of this angel here in verse number 1. And I believe this is a Christophany. It's Jesus Himself coming in the Old Testament. The appearance of an angel. And he's speaking to this nation of Israel. And I believe that He's reminding them and He's warning them to be careful. And He's telling them that there's going to come this time when, if they're not careful, that they'll lose the power of God in their lives. They'll lose the spiritual wonder that God is doing in their lives. And the fact that God Himself, I believe, came to deliver this message shows the seriousness that this message was and the seriousness of the time frame in which He's giving it. And I believe that there's never been a more serious time than today. 2020, United States of America. There's never been a more serious time than right now to seize the moment. Seize the time for Jesus Christ. The people of Israel in the book of Judges, they had not experienced, and we get to verse number 10, this next generation had not experienced the crossing of the Jordan, the conquering of the enemy, the claiming of an inheritance. They did not see the mighty hand of God that their forefathers had saw. And so they did not know Him in the same manner in which their forefathers knew Him. Listen, each succeeding generation fell a little and a little further and further away from God. And I believe that we can look at America We can look at our country and say that it seems that each generation has fallen a little further and a little further away from God. There used to be a time when you could literally take and talk to anyone about the things of God. You could talk to anyone about the Bible. You could talk to just about anyone and start just about anywhere in the Bible. And they understood. They had some context with which you were speaking. But nowadays, it seems like that you have to start all the way from the book of Genesis, which is not a bad place to begin, and simply say, in the beginning, God, because they have no context. They have no understanding of any of the truths of God's word. They don't even have an understanding of who God is, because they believe that there are many gods and there are all ways to heaven. It doesn't matter which one you're following, you'll end up at the same place. The Bible doesn't teach that at all, and we know that to be true. But it seems like this generation has no context whatsoever of Bible history, knowing something of the Bible, and that's not the case anymore. Just like the people in the book of Judges here, and God had told them, and we see in the book that they fell into captivity, and it was because of the generation that failed to pass on the teaching of the Word of God. And I believe that now Christians, we're living in a time when the Christians, your stripe, the born-again child of God, I'm talking about true Christians, you are in the minority. You're in the minority. We see and hear a lot about liberalism taking its hold and getting hold in our country, in our churches. And it's in our churches. And we see and hear of liberalism being in our politics, in our schoolhouses, and on it goes. There are more of them than there are of us. And it's fastly approaching, quickly approaching. We now live in I think, on the brink of socialism, anarchism. And all of these are just simply outcroppings of following the God of humanism. The God of humanism. Humanism sets man above God. In fact, it makes man his own God. His own God. It follows the God of self. It makes self its own savior. Humanism sets man's feelings and experiences above the revelation of God's word. Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but let me tell you what I think, or let me tell you what I feel. It sets our experiences or our feelings above the revelation of God. As a matter of fact, humanism flat out rejects the revelation of God. It rejects the Word of God. It does not need God in humanism. They do not need God, they think. Man is his own God. Our secular universities. Appreciate Brother Andrew mentioning something about a year of Harrison Faith Bible Institute. I would encourage every young person, every single young person, mom and dad, let me just go ahead and step out on a limb. And if young person, you're hearing me, I'm on mom's side and dad's side when they say to you, you're going to have a year of Bible college before you go anywhere else. Have to have at least a year of Bible college. Listen, you'll need that. And you'll say, what about my career? You'll need God if you're going to have a career. You'll be a failure apart from that. Y'all just go ahead and just set it down plain and flat. We're going to have Bible. We're going to have put Bible in there. If you want me to pay for Bible school, if you want me to pay for your education, it's going to have to include a year of Bible. You'll not be sorry for doing that. But many of our secular universities have stopped teaching education. They've stopped teaching, educating our children. Our young people, most have turned out to be the hotbeds of liberalism. That's what most of them are. Atheism, Marxism, socialism. They're now turning out anarchists who question and defy all morality. Question and defy all morality. You know how you know that? Because they always ask the question, well, why? Why? I don't understand why I have to. Well, because God says so. So they question all morality, question every authority. Right and wrong have been replaced with relativism. Well, this seems right for me. This seems good for me. There's literally, I believe, a civil war being waged for the minds of an entire generation. And that civil war is being waged in our universities, and it's carried over into our homes. And that war is being waged for their minds. And I believe civilization as we know it for the last 244 years come this 4th of July is on life support and about to pass away. I really believe that. As we see things happening, Jesus is coming soon. I really believe that. The old timers used to preach it, and they said Jesus is going to come in my lifetime. I believe that Jesus is going to come in my lifetime. And I believe that Jesus could come today. We're living on the brink of the return of Jesus Christ. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, Oxford, all these started out, understand, as Christian colleges. Isn't that an amazing thought? Princeton, their crest is it written in Latin, but it means under God, she flourishes. Under God, she flourishes. You might put a little addendum to that now and says, without God, she fails. Because I believe that's the truth. Think about this. Jonathan Edwards, that fiery preacher from old in Northampton, Massachusetts, preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. And when he was preaching that revival message that literally started the Great Awakening, history tells us that the people, the men, strong men, were gripping hold of the pillars of the church and crying out to God because there was conviction in their lives. Pictured men being held over an open chasm of hell, and men being held there literally by a thread, and that fire was about ready to burn that thread in two, and people started turning to God in repentance. Jonathan Edwards was the president of Princeton University in 1758. Imagine that. Now a hotbed of liberalism. When we come to the book of Judges, we see the prosperity. We see that there was a time of prosperity, and we can say that about America. There was a time of prosperity. They regarded the word of God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God met him there as he was getting ready to go over and do battle. And he said, he saw a man with a sword, and he says, you're on our side? Whose side are you on? And he said, I'm the God of hosts. I've come to take over, in other words. And Joshua said, I'll fall in. I'll just fall in. I'm getting behind you, Lord. And we saw God do great things in their way and in the wake of them coming through. And God opened up doors. They regarded the word of God. Verse number 7, and the people served the Lord in the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did in Israel. There was a time when they served the Lord. They regarded the word of God. The people sacrificed and worshiped God. Judges 2 and 5, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Bochim means the place of the weepers, and their sacrifice brought tears with it. They proceeded to inherit the land that the Lord had promised them. They served God all during Joshua's days, and the elders that outlived Joshua, they also served God. There was an outpouring of God's great and wonderful strength and power and overpowering the enemies when they went to battle. God brought them through the battle every time. But the generation that we find in chapter number 2 and verse number 10, it is a generation that had not seen the power of God in their lives. They've not seen that. And there comes that generation. And I really believe verse number 10 is a rebuke. Is a rebuke, so to speak, to the nation. The rebuke. Verse number 10, also all that generation which gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Knew not the Lord. Nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. I believe there's a tone. It seems to me like the writer of the book of Judges, there seems to be a tone of weeping and a tone of just of sadness. And we look at our country, is there not a tone of sadness as we see things happening around us? And we say, oh, the craziness, all the anarchy, and all the things that are literally out of hand. Is there not a measure of sadness that it brings into our lives because we see the destruction of a great land. Warren Wiersbe said, and in one of his B books said, the Jews became so accustomed to the sinful ways of the pagan neighbors that those ways didn't seem sinful anymore. They become so accustomed to the sinful ways of the pagan neighbors that didn't seem so sinful anymore. The Jews then became interested in how their neighbors worshipped until they finally Israel started to live like their enemies and imitate their ways. For believers today, the first step away from the Lord is friendship with the world, which then leads to our being spotted by the world. The next step is to love the world and gradually to be conformed to the world. This can lead to being condemned with the world. The kind of judgment that came to Lot, Samson, and Saul. Powerful words. We become so used to the darkness. It doesn't seem so dark anymore. Things don't shock us anymore. That's why we can watch the TV screen, why we can see the things that we see. I was appalled in the tragedy that we saw take place there in Minneapolis. I wish I had not seen the video. I wish I had not seen that. It was shocking. And that was wrong. It was wrong. Can I tell you, it's a picture of a wicked, sinful heart. But also what we see come out of that is still another picture of a wicked, sinful heart. And we see a generation that knows not God. Seems like this is where American Christianity is today. We've been so influenced by the world's music, the world's dress, the world's lusts, that we become like the world and no longer stand holy and separated before a holy God in heaven. We're just accustomed to it. You know, you can sit in a dark place. You ever been in a room, you walk out from outside and it's the bright sunlight and the lights go out. You walk into that room and you sit there for a little while and all of a sudden it seems like you adjust. Doesn't seem dark anymore. Things you were ready to stump your toe on and bump your head on, now you see them. Same thing with life. We get used to the dark. And so it doesn't seem dark as much anymore. Instead of, we now have things that are going on, literally civil unrest, hatred for authority, and authority doing wrong itself. There's a second generation syndrome out of verse number 10. There arose that generation knew not God. What caused this? Who's to blame? Who is to blame? Well, certainly every generation is going to have to make up their own mind, but I think that there is blame to be laid upon the previous generation. The previous generation. And let me say that I am not here to say that we are the cause of all the ills of the world, but I do believe that we have dropped the ball in too many areas. We've no longer taken a stance for holiness and righteousness. We've no longer allowed the church to be the place where the pillar and the ground of truth is taught and it's held up. The standard is held high for the world to see. And I think we're reaping that in this generation. True Bible believers, Bible truth is the only way out of this mess that we're in. I really believe that. Bible believers, Bible truth is the only way out of the mess. If we ignore the truth of the Bible, we, I believe, will soon become captives ourselves in a few years. If not our generation, the generation that you hold in your lap, the generation that's sitting beside you, the little ones. If we ignore Bible truth, if we continue to ignore the righteousness and the holiness of God and the Word of God, then we too will become captives. We see the description of this generation. They knew not the Lord. We do not know exactly what that all meant. Maybe it was a matter of indifference or just literally willing disobedience. The result is still the same. It was mere ignorance of the spiritual truth of God's Word. This is describing, I believe, not only that generation, but I believe it's also describing the generation in which we live. John 8 and 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What value is the truth to anyone if we don't act upon the truth? What value is the truth going to be to the next generation if we don't give them the truth? If we fail to ignore it, then we'll die and we'll die with them. If you as a Christian ignore the truth, then you'll end up as a prisoner in the world's system. The truth is still available. Let me say, God's still saving. Let me say, God's still calling and God still wants to do a work. God's truth is still available. Praise God for that. And God's still working. It was available to them in this book of Judges. The truth of God's Word was available. but they chose to ignore it. The truth of God's word is still available to us if we choose to not reject it. And I fear that much of America has rejected it. It's now taken hold in our educational system and in everywhere it seems possible. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 15 and 34 says. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. What a rebuking, stinging verse to us Christians. Some hadn't heard, some do not know. I speak this to your shame. Is America 2020 little more than a poor heathen nation that sold its heritage to sin and to the wiles of the devil? Are we watching a generation being lost before our eyes? Are we seeing a generation who knows nothing or little of God? Are we raising a generation that does not know where the food came from that's sitting on the table? Are we raising a generation that does not understand that it's God's protection that's in our lives every single day? And are we raising a generation that does not know how to be thankful to God? Are we raising a generation that does not acknowledge God in their lives, does not acknowledge God in everything, that does not thank God for everything in our homes? And I know this will not be the case in your lives, but I would be interested to find out how many families around the world, when they sit down for a meal, simply bow their heads and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this food that you've given us." Not just the food, but everything. The clothes that's on our back. The health that we enjoy every day. The life that we have. Living in this part of the country. On and on it goes. Having a good church. Having the Bible in our hands. Are we thankful for this? Have we passed this along? Do we remind our children how God helped us? How God blessed us? The times when we had a great need in our lives and God came through victoriously. Do we help our children understand these truths? Have we taught them these truths? Do we remind them of these things? We see the rebellion. We see their departure from the Lord. Verse number 12 of Judges 2, look at your Bible. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. The sin they so willingly harbored eventually conquered them, and they found themselves enslaved to one pagan nation after another. If you read through the entire book of Judges, that's what happened. One issue, one captivity after another. We see the sins of the second generation. They forgot what the Lord had done for them. They either ignored it or they failed to get to them. They were not reminded, they were not told, or they forgot what the Lord had done for them. That generation gathered and they did not know the Lord, it says. They forsook what the Lord had said to them. Verse number 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods. God says, "You have no other gods before me." They forsook the word of God, what God had said to them. They forfeited what God had promised them. Verses 14 and 15, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. They forfeited the blessings of God, the provision of God. The anger of the Lord was hot against them, the Bible tells us in verse number 14. We're losing our religious liberties at an alarming rate. That's what they lost. They lost their freedoms. We're losing our freedoms at an alarming rate, literally every day. Legislation is already in place to make preaching the Word of God and preaching against sin to be hate speech. It's already taking place. You go up into other parts, you go north, and it's already there. You preach against certain sins, then it is now hate speech. It's coming, church. It's coming. It's coming to our place. They failed to teach the Word of God. They're coming after, I believe, our Bibles. They're coming after our children. They're coming after, and they have plans to come after our homes, to shut down our churches. They failed to learn what God had did in the previous generation. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges and delivered them out of the hands of the Lord. I'm thankful for God's mercy, aren't you? I really believe that God's given us a window of reprieve. He's given us windows of opportunity. Now maybe one, two, and three windows of opportunity. But can I say there's going to come a time when God will say no more. Whatever we allow to be lost in our generation, whatever we allow to be lost in our generation will never be gained back in the next. Whatever we relinquish, the next generation will not get it back. That's why it's important, folks. That's why it's important that we tell the world that we're Christians. The Bible says that God raised up judges. Verse 17, yet they would not hearken to the judges. But they went whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. And they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. God liberated them. He brought them through. He protected them. They cried out to God, and God did something. He stayed active in their lives. But as soon as they were free and it seemed like comfortable, once again, they went back to the same old sins. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They didn't want to do the right things. They didn't want to work. They didn't want to follow God. We see the retribution in verses 13 through 15. They forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and they delivered him into the hands of the spoilers. Verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord, we've already read that verse, I won't take time to read it again, but we see the retribution. God's hand was against them. They succumbed to the sensual appeal of the enemy nations around them, and they fell headlong into the sin of idolatry. The retribution of God described in verses 14 and 15, I believe, summarizes God's repeated judgments on Israel during this long period of judges. God's anger against His people needs no justification. God has a reason to be angry with His people. God has a reason to be angry with America. And I dare say God has a reason to be angry with even churches, because we failed to uphold God's Word, failed to live according to the Word of God. It needs no justification. Idolatry, the accompanying immorality that brought with it, God will not overlook. He used Israel's enemies on all sides to chastise this people. And let's fast forward to today, and we see the enemies that seem to be encroaching and coming up on us. Who would have ever thought there'd be a pandemic? And again, all kinds of thoughts and things about that. But who would ever believe that there would have been something that would literally shut the world down? Who would ever believe within just a few months the economy would be crumbled? More people out of work than ever before. Who would ever believe that now the liberal agenda would now have been progressed and put forward? Literally, I believe 10 to 15 years it's been progressed through this thing. We would have lost liberties that in this generation, the next generation will never return back to. I believe God's hand is saying, wake up. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of the truth. I speak this to you, shame. God still deals with His people. And God still deals with a rebellious and a people that have rejected the authority. They rejected, even though God was dealing in this way, they rejected it more and more. Verses 16 and 17, I won't take time to read it. They continued to reject, and they repeated the cycle. We look at verse number 19 over and over again. They kept on doing the very same thing. And the result is of Israel's sin is the anger of the Lord was hot against them again in verse 20. And He said, because this people have transgressed my covenant, and I have commanded, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. God left them through their own devices. God left them to the position. He said, a little bit, God says, this is the way you've chosen it. You've not listened to me, so I'm going to let you have it now. See how you do. See how you do. Over and over again, it seems that God did that in the scriptures. And I believe that maybe God's saying to America, and he's saying to a people in America, okay, this is what you wanted. Here you go. Let's see how you do. And I've not yet heard, and I'm not hearing yet, a call from repentance, for repentance in our nation. We don't hear that. We hear calls of prayer, and we hear calls of special days of prayer, but how about a call of repentance? Jesus came preaching repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand, he said. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the need of America 2020. I believe God is saying to us today, please wake up. Please wake up. We are living in a generation that knows not God. And this ought to cause, I believe this ought to raise an alarm and cause every mommy, every daddy, every grandma, every grandpa, every Christian, it ought to raise an alarm to say, now more than ever before, we need to live for Jesus. We need to begin sacrificing. We need to say no to sin. We need to say no to the world and tell that world that yes, there is a God in heaven and he's still saving man and he'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make a new life through you and he will bless you and give you heaven. But on the other hand, there's a God in heaven that will not overlook sin. And there's a real place called hell. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to tell the world that there's a Savior. Follow the Lord. We need to, I believe, forget about trying to make everybody feel comfortable. It's kind of the mindset today. Let's just make everybody feel comfortable. Make them feel comfortable in our churches, so we change our churches. Make them feel comfortable. Give them what they want rather than the Word of God. Sometimes I think we spend more time giving our kids the world than rather giving them Jesus. That's why I like to see these babies in church. There's a coming a time when God will say, no more. No more. No more. But I believe God is waiting for us to say it first. I really do. God's wanting to get our attention. I believe he's waiting for us to say it first. For us to say, no more to sin. No more to self. We're going to go with God. Whatever the cost, we're going to go with God. Let's not be that generation, the generation that passed on and the generation that came after us that came up and knew not God. Let's make sure we do our part. You do your part in your place, where you are, in your home, in your church, in your community. Do our part for the glory of God. Let's serve him with all of our hearts. Now more than ever before. It's time to get off the bench and get into the work of the Lord. I believe now more than ever before. And I believe maybe that we are here because we've sat on the bench and we've sat out for way too far long. How about you? Is there some things in your life that you need to just get right and get going for God? Are some things there that just have you've allowed to get in the way? You need to just cleanse them. And by the way, I love what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he who is God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful verse. What a welcoming verse. God is not looking to condemn you. He's looking to forgive you if you'll come to him. And I believe that God can still send revival. I believe God can still build a church in 2020 United States of America. In the midst of chaos, I believe God can still build strong families. I believe that God still can reach the world through Christ, through the gospel with Christ, sending missionaries. I believe that God still can call our young people to the ministry serving him. I believe that God's still at work. I'm not ready to give it up yet. I'm not ready to give up the fort. I'm not ready to be overrun. But I'm ready and asking you as well. Let's be ready to make a run for Jesus. To Him and for Him. And tell the whole world that He's coming again. And that He loves them. He loves you tonight. I'm so thankful of that and so encouraged by that. I hope you know that. God loves you and He wants the best for your life. Will you give it to Him tonight? Give it all. Give it all. You'll never be sorry. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.